The theater. The theater.
Bring out Louis.
Theater. Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater. Theater.
Hello there, friends.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
Hi. It's going good. It's Friday, so I'm stoked right
it's
now.
It's Friday, and it's my first evening off in 10 days. And then will be my last evening off for 11 days.
For 11 years.
11 years. I may have Tuesday night off. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But like, I just need to sit on the couch. You know, I just need to watch something dumb, but I'm doing theater. I'm doing what I love. Like I can't complain.
Can't complain. The one thing I just wanted to crow about, because I know I can't shut up about it, to everyone that knows me, but also on the pod, Tony Noms went out this week, and Sufjan Stevens and Justin Peck's Illinois was nominated for 4 Tonys. Best musical, best lighting design, best orchestrations, and best choreography. And I just want them to win everything.
I hope so. It's getting great reviews and all that. It was a weird year for the Tonys, though. People were up in arms about stuff. So,
well, if any of our listeners are in New York, you gotta go see it. You just gotta. It will change your life.
Are you getting paid? Are you getting paid?
No, I just love it so much. It's my favorite
sponsored thing.
Non-spawn. But listen, Sufjan, Justin, you want to be friends? I want to be your friends so bad.
You want a party. Oh, my gosh.
And on that note, welcome to Theater Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds made by 3 theater makers from the L.A. theater scene. I'm C.J. Merriman.
And I'm Scott Leggett. Now, normally, Bailey would be here with us today, but instead we have for you a very special artist spotlight. It's a bonus series highlighting the artists that you should be keeping an eye out for, and one of our excellent nominees for the first ever Theater Playwright Award
at second ever.
Yeah, I messed that up. I messed that up earlier.
That's on me.
I noticed
second
that
ever.
Earlier and I didn't correct it. It's our second annual Theater Playwright Award at the 2023 Hollywood Fringe. Mandy Rubelli, did I say it right?
It's Rubelli, but you were very close.
Rubelli. Sorry about that.
No,
wrong
you're
emphasis
fine.
Emphasis on the wrong syllable. Awesome. Well, welcome. It's great to have
Thank
you here.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here, and I've never heard of Illinois, so I have to check it out.
It's based on one of Sufjan Stevens' old albums from 2005 that was a big deal to me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to check it out.
Awesome.
Just to introduce you all to Mandy a little bit more, Mandy is a multifaceted artist who got her BFA in acting from Emerson College in December 2020 and has recently shifted to a deeper focus on writing and directing. She wrote and co-directed the hit Arizona Rain, which we are stoked to talk about today, receiving the 2023 Hollywood Encore Producer Award and a nomination in top 5 for several other categories. And this year, Mandy is workshopping her newest piece at the 2024 Hollywood Fringe Festival this summer in just a month. Oh my gosh,
month.
It's in a month.
Month.
Dinosaurs, which is being written as we speak, and we'll talk about that as well.
Right on. Yeah, welcome.
So, welcome
Thank
and hello.
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
We are connoisseurs of context on this pod. Give us a little bit of background about yourself. How did you get into the theater? Tell us all about it.
I'll tell you everything. You said a lot of it. I mean, I got my BFA in Boston from Emerson, but I've really always done theater and been drawn to theater. It's the only thing I ever remember doing. It's the only thing I ever wanted to do.
Awesome.
I was always in plays when I was younger. And I remember sitting down when I was thinking about going to college and thinking like, okay, is there anything else I could do? And I thought, no, like there's literally nothing else I could do. So I've just always loved theater. It's always been acting for me, so the shift to writing and directing is recent, which is really exciting. So I've really, and I feel I kind of love it more. So I'm excited to keep doing it.
That's
multifaceted.
Amazing. Yeah.
How did you come to theater and writing? Was there a specific moment? Was there a teacher? Was there a production? What was it?
Yeah, so it was COVID, actually. I was graduating and I only had a semester left when it hit. And I
Oh
just
my
kind of
God.
decided, yeah, I decided I didn't want to act over Zoom. I was like, I'm
Yeah,
done with
yeah.
that. And so I had always been curious about playwriting. So I took a playwriting class and I wrote Arizona Rain. It was the one and only thing I had
Wow.
written. Yeah, I wrote it and I was like, great, that was fun. And then I kind of forgot about it for 2 years. I graduated in December 2020, moved here September 2021 to LA. And about a year went by, and I was just trying to do self tapes and meet people because I didn't know anybody. And then I had a bit
Right.
of a life shift, and I moved into a sublet apartment, and I had 3 months, and I was feeling kind of like stuck, and like I hadn't done anything artistic that I'd set out to do. And so I just kind of thought, like, what can I do in these 3 months? And I thought, why don't I read that play and try and put that play on? So I did, and I did that in February 2022. Three. Yeah, so I put that on, and that was Arizona Rain, and it did really well, and people really seemed to like it. So we brought it to Fringe last year, and it seemed to be well received. And so I just figured I might as well keep doing this. And so that's how I came to writing.
That's
That's
awesome.
awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
In terms of the directing, did playwriting lead to that, or was that an extension of the acting, and how do those three things inform each other for you?
Yeah, the playwriting definitely led to the directing. I just figured I wrote it, I might as well direct it as well. And it's interesting with my new piece, Dinosaurs, I've decided not to direct it, just so I can steep myself a little more in the writer shoes and figure out, okay, is what I'm saying really being communicated on these pages right now?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's interesting how they all kind of talk to each other, but it's nice to take a step back and say, okay, am I doing this well?
Right. Yeah. No, and I like acting led to me directing, and then that led to me doing writing. And so, and how I've learned from each one, how each one has made the other one grow, like my ability to analyze a script now as an actor is so different than, a post, college graduation or when I first started working. I just find it fascinating how everybody who does those multi-titled positions, handles it and grows from it. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and how did you find the director of this piece? Is it someone you've worked with before, someone you went to school with, or?
Yeah, so I have two co-directors. They're Linnea Gartner and Hannah Cairo. And I know both of them from Emerson, Linnea mostly. It's funny how we came to be. It was during the first run of Arizona Rain. I had this idea I wanted to do it, and I posted on my Instagram story, "Hey LA, like, does anybody know how to put a play on?" And she respond, yeah, I really did. And she responded, and we had just had one acting class together, so I knew her, but not really. And she responds, she goes, "I have no idea, but I'll be your stage manager." And I was like, great. So then we got coffee and we were like, all right, I assume we need actors, and I guess we need a venue. And so she was kind of on this journey with me. She did the first run as my stage manager, and the second run, we were just kind of like a tag team of co-directors, stage manager-y people, the people putting this on. And so then when I decided to do Dinosaurs, I was like, all right, I think I don't want to be the director for this. Let's see if Linnea wants to do it. And then Hannah was our Fringe stage manager that we had hired for the Fringe iteration of Arizona Rain. And she's just wonderful and incredibly organized. And I do not have that organization gene. And so I put them together and I was like, what do you guys think? Would you want to work on this? And so they decided, yeah, we would love to co-direct this.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. You'd kind of talked about this earlier, but slight digression. What was the first, very first theater thing you ever did? Do you remember?
Kind of. I kind of remember, but it's mostly stories. I was like 5 years old, and my mom has this friend who would write little like kids plays and music along with them. And so I think I was a caterpillar, and I don't really remember what it was about, but there's just this picture of me where I'm like all decked out in this like caterpillar costume singing.
That's awesome. That's so
And the
cool.
rest is history.
It's
And the rest
history,
is
yes.
Yeah, my first play, I think I was like 5 or 6, and it was The Boy Who Cried Wolf when I played So, yes.
Yeah, and I remember in middle school I did all of the plays and I would be in them, but I was never like the lead part. And my brother in elementary school had two leads. It was like second grade, and he was like a main coyote character in something else, and I was so mad. I was like, why is he getting
Hey,
these?
hey, hey.
I was the caterpillar.
Now, is your brother still doing theater at all, or?
No, not
Oh.
really, but he's a big supporter, and I send him all my scripts just so he can read them and tell me what he thinks.
Oh, that's nice.
That's
Yeah,
cool.
that's
That's awesome.
great.
Yeah.
That's great.
You got to have those people in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we want to switch over and get into Arizona Rain a little bit?
Sure, let's do it.
Because
I'm so excited.
yeah, because I was trying to I was I remember listen, I saw what 40 plus shows at last year's Fringe, like, but
Yep.
I remember it so clearly. Like, it was a really well done production and a really great cast. I want you to give shout outs to all of them as we go along. But absolutely, like, just a really compelling performance in a very busy Fringe festival. So hats off to you for that.
Thank you.
Had you ever done a Fringe before? And like, how did
Sort
you?
of.
Okay.
So I've actually done Edinburgh before. I was part of a high school
Oh, I'm
group.
so jealous.
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't even realize how lucky I was until now. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, I got to do that. Yeah. And so I was part of a high school group that we got to go and do a performance there. And it was like wonderful, but I had never done something just up on my own. So that's how I was like vaguely familiar with the idea of Fringe. And then I did the first iteration of Arizona Rain, and somebody that I had worked with a couple months before was like, hey, do you want to get coffee? Like, this was really great, and I think it'd do really well in Fringe. Like, let me tell you about it. So then we talked about it, and I was like, that sounds great. I might as well do it.
Right on, right
Okay.
on. Yeah.
I have to say, a studio stage holds an incredibly special place in my heart because when I first moved out here over 17 years ago, I worked with a dance theater company that was our home stage. And I know that the owner and the management has changed since then, but I always get a special feeling when I walk into that space. I love that space so much. Did you guys have a good experience there?
Yeah, we absolutely loved it. We're using Jen and Greg Crafts, who are the venue managers for Dinosaurs this year.
Oh,
Studio
cool.
Stages, yeah, they're not, Studio Stage isn't in Fringe this year as a venue, which is sad,
Yeah.
or else I would have used it again. But yeah, I loved
Yeah,
it.
it's shut down, right? It's officially
I think they're wanting to
sold.
do stuff where they can ask people for a hell of a lot more money, which is depressing and frustrating.
And it's such prime real estate over there. But yeah, Jen and Greg are awesome. So
Yeah,
I'm
so
glad.
awesome.
Stage
Which space
Crafts.
is the next one in?
We're
Do
in
you
the
know?
Badnani.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
I
right
feel
on.
like they're introducing whole new spaces this year to Fringe, which I'm
Yeah.
stoked about. I enjoyed Arizona Rain so much too. It was definitely a standout for me. And I saw, like Scott, saw 40 plus shows last year. I have to say too, because I wanted to make sure I reread it just because it had been a while since I'd seen it. And on reread, I really enjoyed reading it too. Something that I always talk about on this podcast is, it's one thing to have a favorite play and something that you enjoy to see that's great on stage, but then being able to pick it up and enjoy reading it is a whole other ball game. And I
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I absolutely agree. We've talked a lot about the joy of reading August Wilson, like
Yeah.
that he's just one of those great playwrights that every detail, every stage direction is beautiful and eloquent. And Yeah, it's a huge hats off to you that to sit down and read that script was cool as well.
It was easy. It was a breeze.
Oh my gosh.
It felt very stream of consciousness to me. And also it felt very 2024 to me, the way you used emojis and stuff like that. And I really enjoyed that about the reread about it.
Yeah.
Thank
absolutely.
You so much. I appreciate it so much, especially because it's the first thing I've ever written. And so it's just, I didn't really know what I was doing. So I'm glad that people like it so much. And I reread it this morning too, because I was like, I better know what I'm talking about.
Right. And I think the reason that people do like it is because of those characters. Can we dig a little bit into Marcy and Chrissy especially?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What would you like to know?
I don't need to know what real life people might have inspired them, but what were you thinking? Because there's a great flow to it, which I think adds to the reading of the script as well. But there's just a dynamic energy there between them, and all these tensions and all these microaggressions and things. So could you just speak to that?
Yeah, for sure. Every time I kind of delve into where the idea of this came from and those people is, I think I've mentioned it. This play is based on a true story from my life. And this particular night never happened, but a lot of nights like it have happened. And so for those who have not read Arizona Rain who are listening to this, I went through a very scary near-death experience where I had to basically flew where I was and drive many states away. And in Arizona Rain, it's just Chrissy who shows up at her ex-girlfriend's door and is like, I went through this thing. This is the first place I thought to go. And they have this 24 hours of basically reeling with the emotions of I almost died and everything that comes with that, and the emotions between Marcy and Chrissy, which were very, how do I say it? Like, kind of push and pull. When is this actually going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. And then coming to head with a near-death experience, it's like, well, YOLO, basically. It's like, you only live once, so we might as well figure this out. And then is it actually going to be figured out in the way that these two characters want because of what you were saying with all of these microaggressions and internalized homophobia and things like that. So when I talk about where this idea came from, it was during COVID and I was with all of these people. And so we had to drive very far. And this particular person that Marcy is based around lived kind of close to where we were going. So I was like, can we just stop? And I wave and I say, I'm alive, hooray. And then I move on. So we did that and I waved and I said goodbye. And so when I was thinking about writing this play, I was thinking, what would have happened if I stayed, if it wasn't COVID, and I stayed for 24 hours, and then the idea just kind of came out.
That's cool. So cool. I mean, I'm sorry that you had to deal with that trauma, but I guess great art comes out of trauma sometimes, and what a way to deal
Thank
with it.
Thank you.
Is putting it into a play.
It was interesting because the 3-year anniversary of that last year was on one of the performance dates, and it was it was amazing. I stood up and I was like, you know, for those who don't know, this is true, and thank you for being here. I'm could never be more grateful to be alive and watch this play and watch everybody enjoy it. So it meant a lot to me to do it.
Right on.
I gotta say too, like, there are no villains in this story. Like, you kind of get frustrated with different characters at different points, but like ultimately I get where everybody is coming from and I understand and I empathize with everybody. And I really enjoyed that about the play too.
Thank you.
But it also, and I also, I mean, like, I'm a little bit older than you, but I remember that time in my life too. Cause my God, I another thing I talk about on the podcast all the time is, when I was in college, the only stuff that was available to young women, the only stuff that my professors thought were available to young women was like Humana Festival or Wendy Wasserstein, or, you know, playing a character that's way too old for you. And I feel like there's just so much more appropriate and accessible material now. And there's something, and they're not the same plays at all, but it reminded me of the Bogosian play. Is that Suburbia?
Yeah.
That writes a very specific time a very specific age range. And I just remember being that age and just kind of feeling like, what am I going to do? This all seems so difficult, and trying to stay connected to people. But then the relationships in and of themselves were difficult and confusing. And you did great at that.
Thank you. It is a play of big questions. And we did a lot of discussions of who is the main character in this play. And it was just interesting because they both are kind of telling their stories.
Yeah. And it's well balanced in that way, too.
Thank you.
And just to dovetail a little bit off of what CJ said, I think that was the thing, being older than both of you. but like all the sort of pop modern, quote unquote, you know, elements of it, the gaming and all that, which there was gaming when I was in college too, but it was totally different.
It's funny. I'm not a gamer. And so I had my cast, I was like, help. I don't know what to put here.
No, but it's great because it's a way, it is such a way of communication, but it definitely brought me back to that age range, that time, and place, and how you communicate, and not being fully certain of who you are yet, and then adding life and death stakes to it, and then adding, you know, a romantic interest to it, another person whose voice you get to hear as equally, really put me in it. I think that's why I was just so engaged with everybody, and even the secondary characters, because I really want to talk about B and Danielle. Did you always have it in your head that would be one actor playing those two?
No, I didn't. I don't know. It just kind of happened that we were like, well, they might as well just play all these characters. And I think it worked really well. I really enjoyed seeing the flips that they did.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Really, oh, they were great. They were great. Yeah. And I mean, and it's, you know, it's such a simple sort of elegant theatrical device to add. It's like, okay, here are my two, and then I'm going to orbit them with these other actors that are going to play all these other roles, and you know, that's just a nice little trick that makes it different than film or TV.
Yeah. It's also fun. Change.
It's also fun for the actor that gets to play multiple roles, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Before we move on, did you have anything else that you wanted to say about Arizona Rain?
Not really. I'm just excited to see where it goes and how it grows. That was the third iteration of us doing it. I did it once over Zoom, once before, and then once at Fringe. And so I'd really love to keep working at it. I'd love to take it to New York sometime. So I guess stay tuned for wherever it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's cool. It's cool. Have you done any more work on it since Fringe?
Not really, honestly. It's kind of been in a little lockbox. So it was interesting, right, as I was rereading it, I noticed a couple of things where I was like, wait a second, and hold on. To have the year removed. One of them was even so silly where I was like, why does Marcy hate country music if she's in Arizona? Silly things like that where I was like, I might as well revisit and make it even stronger.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna
move on, but if you have more to say,
I just had, you know, more guys stuff, just mansplaining stuff.
No, mansplain away.
No, but Tom Stoppard had a similar story about a play that he'd worked on for years. They did like a small like workshop production of it in like the 70s, and everything else was blowing up around him, you know, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and he was starting to do some screenwriting, and he kept going back to this play. He would be like, it would sort of be at the bottom of the pile of stuff on his desk, and he would return to it and he would read it, and he's like, no, this is pretty good. And then you get about halfway through, he's like, no, God damn it, I've got to go back and redo that. And he worked on it for like, 20 or 30 years before. I can't even remember which play it was. It might've been like, I can't remember, but it's just interesting to revisit work and keep, you know, honing it and changing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Never too late to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so some fun questions.
I'm ready.
Who is your favorite playwright and or theater artist?
So this is such an interesting question when people ask me, and I really just want to say a bunch of people from my college. There are so many people making the most incredible work that I feel like I have not seen in like professional productions that I have seen. Some to name are Santi McLean, AJ Tierney. There's one other I wanted to mention. James LaBella. They're all playwrights from Emerson who are doing incredible work. And I just remember when I went to college, all I really knew was like Shakespeare and musicals that you do in high school. And then,
like you do.
And I remember sitting down and seeing a play by Santi McLean that was very emotional and funny and had a lot of depth. And my mind was blown. Mm. I was like, what is this new world of theater I've never run into? So really I read all these different plays, but I just return to the people that I've met and gotten to work with, and I'm just forever impressed by them. So those are some of my little favorites.
That's really lovely.
Right. That's you. Amazing. Yeah. The next question was going to be favorite play, but let me twist that. What is a play that you have found to be influential or educational, even if you didn't necessarily love it, but one that you went, oh, I need to learn from that?
Yeah, it's a play by Duncan MacMillan. It's called Every Brilliant Thing. And what it is, it's a one-person show. And there's a lot of audience interaction, and there's a lot of happiness and depth. And the premise of the play is it is somebody explaining to the audience, they had a mom who had some very severe mental health issues. And when they were like five, the mom was in the hospital and they didn't really understand why mom was so sad. So they wrote a list. They started a list of every brilliant thing in the world to cheer her up. So one is ice cream and two is like water fights. And then as the person gets older and moves on, they continue to more mature things that are happiness or lack of happiness. And what happens is everybody in the audience at the beginning of the show gets to choose one of the things off the list. And then when it's time to read, the person calls them out and you get up on stage and you read the thing. And then there's so much audience interaction in it. They pull people up to be the mom. There's a part where someone's like their old English teacher and there's like a sock puppet part I remember. And I just remember like laughing and crying. Any play where I'm laughing and crying, I'm like, this is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen and I need to make art like this.
Right on.
So yeah, that's just a play that I really adore. And when I'm like 45, I'm going to do it. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Am I next?
Yes, you're next.
Oh, yeah. What do you have any? Do you have any dream roles, or as a director, any like dream plays you would strictly like to direct?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. I really love, this is a musical, but I really love Rose from Dogfight. I've always wanted to play Rose in Dogfight. As a director, I haven't really thought about plays that I'm like dying to direct. I have a silly answer. I always wanted to play Annie when I was younger. I'm like, please, someone let me play Annie when I'm still an adult. I'm 4'11".
mine was Joan of Arc, and I never, they're not going to let a 40-year-old play Joan of Arc.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, so that's my silly answer.
Not silly at all. That's great. No. That's great, you know.
Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want to plug? Let's talk about Dinosaurs.
Yes, I would love to plug Dinosaurs. So Dinosaurs is a brand new workshop. I've been writing it over the course of the past couple of weeks. My final draft is due in about a week, and we're just going to do it to the best of our ability. Yeah, because Fringe was so fun, and the reviews were amazing, and I just kind of thought to myself, because I had been wanting to write something this past year, but just ran into so many things, so I never got around to it. And I thought, you know what, why don't I do it? Because I might as well put it on, see what people think, get feedback, which is a great resource that Fringe offers, and then take it to the next level. So Dinosaurs is coming up in June. There's 5 performances in the Fringe Festival. Our first one is June 11th. So I would love for you to be there and tell me what you think of it.
I'm going to make sure I get to it, for sure. For sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mandy and I were talking pre-show before you got on, Siege. We're gonna do some big comp swaps.
Ooh, great.
Yeah. Get,
love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Might as well do it for free.
Yeah, might as well say stuff for,
Well, I mean, you know, if you go hardcore at Fringe without comps or discount codes, like you can spend some money without.
Oh, yeah, you really can. Yeah.
Oh man, never mind food and booze and everything else that goes on with it. You know. vape pens.
All the essentials, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for joining us for our Artist Spotlight bonus episode. Coming up on the pod, we're going to cover me, Bailey, Scott, and Pam all going to the escape room Lab Rats and how it went. We had a great time.
We had a blast. It was maddening. Maddening. One of the best escape rooms I've been to ever.
It was my second, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was good.
Follow us on all the socials, and please follow Mandy on Instagram at Mandy Rubeli. That's MandyRubeli, and at Dinosaurs Fringe. Make sure you get to see that show, y'all. We're going to enjoy it. I can't wait. And on TikTok at Mandy Rubeli, spelled the same.
Thank you so much for having me. This is amazing.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
I will give final big shout outs to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who writes our theme song. Our theme song is better than your theme song.
It's true.
And to Pam Quinn, who contributes to the show and will be our guest next week. Otherwise, rate, review, and subscribe, all that good stuff. We appreciate you listening. And Mandy, what a pleasure to sit in. We were trying to remember. We knew we met last year at Fringe, but we couldn't remember where. So it was probably the party, and I was probably drinking.
Back. Very festive.
Very festive. Very crowded. Very sweaty. Yes. It was a very sweaty closing night for the Fringe.
It really was.
It was like we were all packed in there.
Well, thanks so much for coming, Mandy. And I'm stoked to see Dinosaurs. Can't wait to see it. And I hope you have a spectacular Fringe. Yes.
Thank you so much.
All right. Later, everybody. Thanks for joining.
The theater, the theater. Sing out, Louis! Theater, theater. To be or not to be. Theater, theater.